us. WILL programs are made possible by Community Concierge Magazine, telling Champaign-Urbana's story to new residents and old. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed four times a year throughout East Central Illinois.
It's 2:40. In sports news, it took a great effort by Jason Lezak to keep Michael Phelps on his quest for a record 8 Olympic gold medals. Lezak anchored the U.S. 400 freestyle relay team to a world record-setting win against France, surging ahead in the final meters and helping the Americans shave nearly 4 seconds off the previous mark. Phelps later advanced to the 200 freestyle final and the 200-meter butterfly semifinals. American swimmer Katie Hoff took silver in the women's 400 freestyle. Hoff built a big lead in the race, but finished 0.07 seconds behind Britain's Rebecca Adlington. The U.S. also picked up a silver when Christine Magnussen finished second in the women's 100-meter butterfly. John Danks will be on the mound for Chicago tonight when the White Sox face the Boston Red Sox in the finale of their four-game series. A win tonight would give the White Sox a series victory over the Red Sox for the first time since taking 2 of 3 at Fenway Park in August of 2004. Danks is 9-4 this season. He'll be up against Boston's Josh Beckett. The Florida Marlins continue a stretch of 13 straight games against teams with winning records when they host the St. Louis Cardinals in the opener of a four-game series tonight. The Cards lost 2 of 3 at Chicago over the weekend. They now trail the Cubs by 7 games in the Central. The Cubs, meanwhile, are off today before starting a 6-game road trip. The Cubs will play 3 against Atlanta before heading to Florida to take on the Marlins in a weekend set. Chicago remains 4 games ahead of Milwaukee atop the NL Central. And former Illinois center Sean Pruitt has signed a contract to play for the Czech team BK Prostov. Agent Mike Nadich says the 6'10 Pruitt, who was the Illini's starting center last season, will begin play with his new team in October. That's sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Prevena Diabetes and Obesity Clinic, serving the area with a comprehensive diabetes and obesity care clinic. Appointments and information available at 217-337-1300.
Tightwad Bank is back in business. The little bank in the tiny town of Tightwad, Missouri, has reopened after being shut down 2 years ago when it was a branch of a larger bank. Missy Shelton of member station KSMU reports.
Let's play a game. If I say Tightwad, quick, what comes to mind? Stingy? Miserly? Your Uncle Jack?
The name Tightwad can conjure up negative connotations.
Don Higdon is chairman of the board of Tightwad Bank.
We prefer to, of course, go with the positive connotations on that, that being frugal, prudent, you know, wise with your money. And in today's financial times, I think it probably might strike a chord with some people.
That's the hope of Higdon and his business partner, who reopened Tightwad Bank earlier this year. UMB Bank shut the doors on its branch in 2007 because by then it had opened several other branches in more populous areas nearby. But Higdon sees an opportunity in tiny Tightwad, Missouri, population 63. He's embracing a name that's usually intended as an insult, proudly handing out mugs, caps, and debit cards emblazoned with the word Tightwad. Sometimes people who drive by the bank, located about 100 miles outside Kansas City, stop in to take their picture with the Tightwad Bank sign out front. Since acquiring the bank, Higdon's main upgrade to the building has been putting the bank's name in big block letters out front on the brick. The bank's name attracted convenience store clerk Rhonda Batson, who recently opened a savings account there. She was happy to get some Tightwad swag in exchange for her business.
When I opened the account, they gave me a T-shirt that's got Tightwad, Missouri. We get a lot of questions about the T-shirt.
Questions like, is there really a Tightwad bank? Don Higdon says that's a problem.
This is the biggest issue we have to overcome, is the credibility issue, because a number of people don't believe it's a real bank. I have the shirt on that says tightwadbank.net on it, and I'll be in a store or, you know, out in public somewhere, and people will look at it. Others will go, is that a real bank? And I go, yes, it is.
Before the bank closed last year, people from all over the country had accounts there. They were attracted by the kitschy name. Already, the current incarnation of Tightwad Bank has attracted customers from as far away as Hawaii. As amusing as the name is, it may only have narrow appeal. Robin Luke is head of the marketing department at the Missouri State University College of Business Administration. He says the name Tightwad Bank is likely to appeal only to a certain group of people.
There probably are some people with warped sense of humor that thinks it's fun to have tightwad on their checks. And also, there may be a personality among account holders who say, we want our bank to be a tightwad. We want them to take care of our money. We want them to give us some security and be tightwads themselves as an institution.
If appearances are any indication of the bank's tight waddiness, then it truly is tight with its money. The bank is housed in a building that's had few upgrades since it was built in the mid-1980s. Instead of cushy bank chairs, there are what appear to be kitchen table chairs for customers to sit on in the lobby. Though Higdon says he wants to live up to the bank's name, he says he does plan to make some upgrades. For now, he's spending most of his time trying to leverage the name to entice money out of the wallets of tightwads. For NPR News, I'm Missy Shelton in Springfield, Missouri.
Next time on PRI's The World, Tokyo's Olympics included Japanese judo. Seoul's Olympics featured Korean taekwondo, but Beijing's Olympics don't have China's own native martial art, wushu. Some Chinese are offended by that slight. That story in the day's news, coming up this afternoon on The World at 3 o'clock. The people around the world who tuned into the opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympics number upwards of 1 billion. NBC offered Americans a tape delay of the broadcast so it could target a more lucrative primetime audience. But NBC's big challenge is figuring out how to measure for advertisers who's watching and when. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
The Nielsen Overnight Ratings estimates that nearly 17 million American households tuned into the tape-delayed opening ceremonies in Beijing. That's 19% higher than the 2004 Athens Games. Still, viewers have a variety of ways to keep track of the action, whether it's online, on a mobile device, or on the TV set at home, or maybe in a bar.
There's no standardized measuring system for measuring everybody.
That's Brian Steinberg, television editor for Advertising Age magazine. As technology offers new ways to view content, he says high-profile events such as the Olympics puts audience measurement tools to the test.
A person who watches gymnastics online or at a bar isn't the same kind of viewer as watching on a big-screen TV at home.
Steinberg says the challenge is for NBC to gauge a more diffuse audience. If it can't guarantee a certain number of viewers, then it may have to offer the advertisers more ad time or, in an extreme case, refund an advertiser's money.
No one likes that. Advertisers want to make sure that their messages reach the people they want them to reach, and they want certain guarantees. So you want to make sure that you're connecting with who you're supposed to.
Bottom line, says Steinberg, NBC has to prove to advertisers that in uncertain economic times, they're getting their money's worth. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
Have you caught that Olympic spirit yet? Commentator Amy Gaida explains that a judge in Arizona certainly did, freeing an Olympic coach just in time for training. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There's something special in the air when the Olympics return every 2 years. It's hard not to get swept up in the whole thing, the competition, the excitement, the national pride. And you've got to wonder what role that Olympic spirit played in a courtroom in Arizona just a couple of months ago. One of the lead coaches of the U.S. wrestling team, Roman Roklowski, sat behind bars earlier this summer, then a judge set him free. It's a long story. Roklowski is from Poland. NPR says that you might remember him as the coach near the mat shouting instructions to an American wrestler who beat a Russian in a major upset for the gold medal in 2000. Poland claims that Roklowski committed two crimes there in the mid-1990s, conspiracy to defraud a bank and embezzlement. The coach denies the charges and argues that it's just Poland's attempt to get back at him for writing a tell-all book about what he described as rampant corruption in the athletic programs in the country. You do have to wonder why Poland would wait until 2005, more than 10 years after the original charges, to file what the court called a provisional arrest, suggesting that Roklowski had left the country to avoid prison. A federal court in Arizona received an extradition request just last October. Roklowski's been living here in the United States as a legal permanent resident of the U.S., and more importantly, he's a really good coach. What does all that have to do with law and legal process? Well, not that much last December. Back then, Roklowski asked the court to set him free on bail. Trouble is that the extradition statute that put him in jail in the first place doesn't give just anyone the right to bail. Roklowski argued that his case fit the very unusual special circumstances exception within the statute. He said he wasn't a flight risk and had good character. But the court wasn't persuaded. Past courts granted a special circumstances exception, the judge explained, when the detainee was merely a teenager or had posted $12 million, a major chunk of a tax debt. So Roklowski returned to jail. Then 6 months later, in early June, just as those Olympics ads started appearing on TV, the wrestling coach came back to the same judge to re-argue that whole special circumstances thing as what the judge called a renewed request for release. This time, Coach Roklowski explained, he fit the special circumstances bill because the Olympics were just weeks away, and he had American wrestlers to prepare for trials and the Olympic Games. This time, witnesses testified that Roklowski was one of a handful of elite Greco-Roman wrestling coaches in the world. This time, 9 wrestlers came forward to ask that Coach Roklowski be freed to help them train for the Olympics. And that American wrestler who won the gold medal in the upset against the Russian, he testified too. So this time the court found that Roklowski's situation was indeed a special circumstance deserving release pending extradition. First and foremost on the list of reasons why, the Olympic Games were calling. The Arizona Republic newspaper put his extradition hearing date as sometime in August. One hopes that the court would set it for late August after the closing ceremonies and all. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. It's 2:52. Fans of traditional Irish music in the Champaign-Urbana area are in for a treat this evening. If you're such a fan, you can see sister fiddlers Liz and Yvonne Kane perform at the Channing Murray Foundation on West Oregon Street in Urbana. The show, tonight at 8 p.m., is part of the Piper's Hut concert series. Liz and Yvonne Kane are from a rural village along the west coast of Ireland. They began learning music as very young children. Both their mother's family and father's family had a rich musical tradition, and their grandfather, Jimmy Mullen, who was a leading figure on the traditional music scene in Ireland, was their first teacher. The Kane sisters were also greatly inspired and influenced by the fiddle playing and compositions of Paddy Fahey. So, ahead of their appearance tonight in Urbana, let's listen to one of their recordings from their CD, The Well-Tempered Bow. Let's hear two of Paddy Fahey's best-known compositions. They are jigs. Thank you. Tonight's Piper's Hut Concert featuring the Kane sisters, Liz and Yvonne, is set for 8 o'clock at the Channing Murray Foundation, 1209 West Oregon, Urbana. There's more information on the concert, including ticket information, on the website www.pipers-hut.com. Pipers-hut.com. For more information about the Kane sisters, visit their website www.thekanesisters.com. Their name is spelled K-A-N-E.
Earth and Sky.
Monday, August 11th, 2008. It's time again for the Perseid meteor shower. Often the best meteor shower of the year. Definitely a sky highlight of our northern hemisphere summer.
In Europe and North America, the greatest numbers of Perseids are expected in the wee hours before dawn tomorrow morning. In Asia, the forecast calls for the Perseids to peak before dawn on Wednesday. At its peak, the Perseids often produce 60 meteors per hour.
Keep in mind, though, that meteor showers are notorious for waylaying best-laid sky forecasts. Predicting the time of a meteor shower's peak and its intensity is as much art as science.
Or you might say that meteor showers are like sporting events in that the